Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for virtual church today. God bless you. We hope that you and all of your loved ones are well by the grace of God. We thank you for taking the time to watch the little mini movie before this message, and there'll be one after this message as well. But we just want to enjoy being together in a virtual way, doing church together. The word is still the word, and wherever it goes out, however it reaches people, wherever those words fall on the ears of the hearer, we declare that the word of God will have good effect. So, Father, in the name of Jesus today, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing on the word. We're thankful, Father God, that as it goes out today, it will make a transformational change a true reality for people in their lives. We're thankful, Father God, that you never leave us or forsake us. You're there at our rising up and at our setting down. And Lord, you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. So, Father, we're thankful for your great love for us. And we thank you for this service today. We pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week, if you're a little bit like me, then you might have some crazy hair moments happening. We're getting to that stage in the lockdown just now where hair's going a wee bit wild and that type of thing. I feel like I resemble John the Baptist a wee bit in the hair stakes. But you know, if you're feeling really brave and you want to let one of your nearest and dearest near your head with a pair of hair clippers, then I have to say I've seen some good results and I've seen some not so good results. So I'm just going to rock this kind of caveman look for a little bit longer. I'm sure a lot of us guys are doing that. And if you're having to use colour out of a bottle, then more power to you. We're just doing what we need to do. Before we started filming today, Pastor Linda says to me, I think you need some sort of a makeup or something. So I don't know what she was actually thinking about. She's behind the camera just now. But we're doing well, and we're thankful for all of your prayers. We pray also for you every single day. And we just want to say take care out there. If you're taking the opportunity to do things like DIY, then be careful, and just be careful when you're working. But our prayers are being shared, and they're mutually edifying and encouraging us and having great effect in the name of Jesus. Amen. So thanks for watching the prelude video to today's message. I really hope that it's moved you as much as it moved me when I first seen this series. It really moved me spiritually, emotionally. You know, God gave us emotions to enrich our lives. And so thanks for watching it. After this message today, watch the link or the video, the episode 2B. And I know that's going to leave a stirring in your souls, as it has done for me. And so, you know, last week we began this new series and we were talking about loving your neighbor. And we've got the inspiration for this from a producer in Canada who created this series called 12 Neighbors. And we began asking ourselves one of the most important questions of our time last week, and that is, what does it really mean to love our neighbors? Well, our goal today is to bring you a message that'll inspire you and that'll encourage you and motivate you to love your neighbors like never before. And in this series of messages, I think we're going to find out and be challenged by what it really means to go beyond what is normal for us, to reach not only the poor and the marginalized in society, but also to reach the wealthy. We can never forget that there's people out there that are self-made, they're self-sufficient, they're self-secure, And we have to reach them with our time. We have to reach them with our love. And we have to reach them with our lives. And so the title of this message today is called Spend Yourself. And, you know, this is a time where people like that, even though they may feel secure or have had security, they might think they're beyond the reach of this pandemic. Everyone is being shaken by this. And many people are discovering now that the secular salvation, which is a kind of a bit of a phrase at the moment, and the freedom that they've enjoyed and known is worth very little to them now. So my bank actually sent me a message this morning. It was very interesting to see. The message was saying that they could offer me certainty in uncertain times. And I understand the sentiment and I understand what it's relevant to in terms of my finances. But I want to say to every listener today, the only person that can give you certainty in uncertain times is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can do that. And that's the same Jesus who constantly pursue a heart until it's given over to him, until it's surrendered to him, until he's won that heart. And that's one thing that we can be 100% certain of, is that Jesus is in constant pursuit of our hearts and the hearts of people. And once we have Jesus in our lives, we can be certain of his presence, which is there to lead us and guide us, no matter what the circumstances in the world are. So Jesus wants us to be in constant pursuit of hearts too. And the reason why he wants us to be in constant pursuit of hearts is because a soul is a soul, and a soul is precious to God. And so people are more vulnerable now than they've been in a long time. And I'm hearing stories all the time of people who are in very vulnerable positions as a result of what's going on in the world today. And Jesus came to reach and to liberate the vulnerable. And for a long time now, people have been creating and fortifying their own worlds and their own existences. And sure, there's still millions of people that are vulnerable in this world. But the things that people may have thought were unshakable are definitely being shaken. And so in the movie before this message, you may have heard these sayings. Money does not fix vulnerability. Being supportive fixes vulnerability. Love will fix vulnerability. And it's so true. You can throw a lot of finance and material things into situations and problems in the world, but the thing that's going to make the most difference to those people is support and time and love, and ultimately the love of Jesus. That is what's going to make the difference. And here's our key scripture for this week, and it's in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10. In the New International Version, it says there in verse 10, "And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry," or in other words, if you give yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, "then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Amen. That's obviously in context of a chapter that we know very well on fasting, Isaiah 58. One commentary I read about that passage of scripture says that these verses are a full account of the blessings and the benefits which reward those who perform those things, who carry out those duties. Going back to that, satisfying the needs of the oppressed, being the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And so if we as individuals, as families, and as a church, if we render service to our neighbours in these ways, we're going to discover that God is, in fact, a great rewarder. And whatever we spend of ourselves, whatever we give of ourselves in this charity, in doing these things that he's asked us to do, they'll be abundantly made up to us. You know, God is a God who is no man's debtor, and he's never in debt to us. So praise God for that. God will surprise them, those that do these things, with the return of mercy after great affliction. And there's a lot of affliction at the moment. And it shall be as welcome as the light of the morning after a long dark night, just as that scripture said. So that is our key scripture for today. And listen, I know that all of that takes faith. As we said last week, it takes faith to cross the road. It takes faith to cross the street and go and engage with someone. It takes faith to go and do these things. It takes faith to do this work. It takes a lot of faith. But Christ loves people, and we can't love people on our own strength. We need Jesus. And it's Christ in us that is going to enable us. He's going to be the enabling power that will take us to that place where we understand that we can spend ourselves. I heard someone say one time, you know, by the time our days are up, make sure you die spent, that there's nothing left in the tank. And I feel that. I feel a real sense of that just now, that we're being called upon to expend more of ourselves, to spend more. And Jesus calls us to live life with and to love our neighbours. And that call is really the only call that matters. You know, it's one of the calls that matter the most, is to win the lost, to love them and to live with them. And so the call to loving your neighbour means that you have to have an almost automatic, unconscious drive to help no matter what the circumstances are. You know, I loved the lyric in one of the songs that was in the mini movies, and it says, "It won't be easy, but now that I've seen you, I can't look away." And I think it's knowing that once you've seen something, you've seen a need, it becomes more difficult to look away when you know that Jesus is there and he's saying, come on, spend yourself, invest yourself into this, invest some time, invest something into your neighbours. And last week we explained that our neighbours are not just the people that live next door. Our neighbours are the stranger, the foreigner. Sometimes our neighbours, well, they're our enemies. They're people that are difficult to get on with. And so it's putting another person above yourself. And it may well be a stranger or someone that you might not really know. And for a lot of us, these are testing things that we feel really uncomfortable with, you know. And it may be an enemy. And there's an even higher probability that the person may even be closely related to you in some way. You know, one thing that I've learned over the years is that there's two things that you can't separate. One is forgiveness, and the other is neighbors or people. Forgiveness always requires a deep spiritual and emotional investment, but one that I can promise you will always bring a great return. You know, and so what if my neighbor's not my friend? Or what is it? What if it is someone I've disagreed with and we've fallen out over something? What if it's a situation like that? The first thing that we need to recognize is that, and look into ourselves and say, are there any resentful or bitter feelings that I have towards another person, a neighbor? And then forgive them. And if we've caused them harm, we go to them and we make the situation right if we can. If it's at all possible, we go to that person and we make the situation right. And once we acknowledge who that person is and what it is they've done to hurt us, we can then consciously forgive that person for the things that they've done. And we can then go on to repent of our feelings, the feelings that we had towards that person, and we can ask God to forgive us for harboring those feelings. And the next step after that is to actively pray for that person's good. And that's a big one. To actively pray for those who have persecuted you, who you may feel have not done the right thing by you, to pray for your enemies. And they may still oppose you in some way, but Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 43, to pray for our enemies. And by praying for our enemies, it will actually begin to produce love in our hearts for these people. I want to read that scripture to you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, when you pray and ask the Lord to meet the needs of your enemies and to manifest himself to them, to do something to move in their hearts too, you're doing a supernatural thing. You're overcoming evil with good when you pray that way. You're overcoming evil with good. You're releasing the supernatural power of God to work in situations that you may have thought would be impossible to come right again. And now that you've done this and you've gone through those steps of forgiveness towards your neighbor, your heart will have changed towards that person. I believe that. And instead of dwelling on all the negativity that you previously had concerning that person, you've begun to fill your heart and your mind, where the battlefield is, with positive thoughts and truths, seeing that person as God sees them. That is a huge thing. And that is really one of the most fundamental things that we have to come to terms with in our Christian walk, is to see others as God sees them. And when we've done all this, what we're doing effectively, we have a spiritual stake in the person that we've prayed for in their well-being. And we're no longer standing against them as an enemy, but in the spirit, we're standing with them. And that's a huge shift in dynamics. God always turns things around when we pray for our enemies. Amen. And when forgiveness is unlocked and it's released, redemption follows on from that. Great redemption. I believe we're going to see great redemption in the days ahead. You know, this is a time where people are going to be reflecting a lot on things. And I'm trusting God that there's going to be a redemption that following on from this time, you know. And so we're going to see our enemies become blessed because we've prayed for them. But the thing is that that's going to be a blessing in return to us. We effectively put ourselves back on to God's side when we pray for our enemies. And things that seemed improbable or even impossible before will begin to come to pass. And this is the thing that I believe is going to unlock so much of God's future kingdom to us, is when we get back to these basics of love and forgiveness and we begin to operate in those things again. The door that was once closed to us because we withheld those things that God wants us to release, that door is going to be opened. Amen? And the King of Glory, once that door's opened, the King of Glory can once again show us the goodness of his redemption. And the movie that you're going to watch just after this message, because there was a episode 2A was before it, and episode 2B is just after this, it's going to open your eyes, I believe, to some truths that we all face. You know, spending yourself is going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to take you to places that you may not even want to go to. And the couple in the movie that you'll see after this, they said the following. We didn't need money to go and show up in neighborhoods. You'll see them. They're a young couple who went into a certain neighborhood to reach out to the kids and the youth there. We didn't need money to show up in those neighborhoods. We didn't need money to go in there and to earn their trust. We just needed to go in there and spend ourselves by taking up our time to go into the neighborhood. And all that really mattered to the people that was in that neighborhood was this, that this young couple were going to come back again. And I want to leave you with this thought. And I know this will resonate with all of us. We can all do a one-hit wonder. We can all go and do a good work. Praise God for that. Every single good work that we do is making a difference. We can do that. But the measure of our love for our neighbors is going to be determined by, are we going to go back again and again and again? Will we go back and do it again? That is the measure of our true love for our neighbors. And this young couple said they didn't really have a plan. They had prayed, but God didn't give them a real strategy except go and show up and keep on showing up. I think that's a great plan. We say this, I hear plenty of people in ministry life saying this, dress up and show up. We've just got to, most of the time, the most important thing is that we show up. And so in the process of showing up and going back again, we get other opportunities. We get opportunities to listen, to understand, to educate, and to teach. And this is a great blessing that brings us into unity with those that are different to us. My heart was really glad in the first mini movie, just seeing those refugees beginning to learn English as a language. And in the church as well. And get involved in that community and their schools and everything. It was amazing. I want to encourage you, anybody has the opportunity to give people a voice again, to help someone, to cross over by faith and engage. Anybody has the opportunity to help their neighbor discover their purpose in the midst of their pain. And all of us have been given this mission, to approach our neighbors and to see if they'll receive two things, and in no particular order, will they receive love and will they receive truth? That's what we want to see. Will they receive that? Because that's what we want to bring to those people. And there's a message for the church today in this. Many people want to live in a kingdom but give no place to the king. And we see that in man-made kingdoms around us. We see that in people's attitude to authority and the autonomy people want and the freedom that they want. And we see freedoms being exercised to the extreme in these days. The old thing is, you know what, just you do you, and that's how I'm going to live my life. I'm just going to do what I want to do. But we're in times now where we have to consider one another. We have to consider our neighbors. So the only way we're going to have the wisdom to live life is by doing it God's way and by trusting in His wisdom. And so this might be a time in the church world where many will fall away, but I believe the church will grow. I believe the church will be added to. And I'm trusting God that no one will fall away, the people that we know, that they will stay strong. And I sense as well, just from people I've spoken to this week, people have sent me messages concerning dreams that they've had and things that the Spirit of God's been speaking to them. And I sense a real urgency swelling in people's hearts. People are having dreams and visions. I myself have had some very vivid ones over the last few weeks. So now isn't a time for strife and debate over doctrine and the speculation over, you know, what's out there and concerning the times that we're living in. Now's not the time for strife and debate over that. Now's the time to worship and let the King of Glory back into our lives and into our homes and into the church, especially into our homes, into our temples. Our homes, our hearts again. You know, let the King of Glory take his place in your heart again. And so I believe now is a time to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our households. And in so doing, as we do this together in our own places, our own homes, the church is going to be fortified and we're going to come out of the other side. I believe we're going to be much stronger. And it's a time when more than ever before, and a lot of you will remember the saying that when Pastor Mark was here, he spoke it often. And it's relevant for this time. Strong men or strong women equals strong marriages. Strong marriages equals strong families. Strong families, strong homes. Strong homes, strong churches. Strong churches, strong communities, and strong communities build a strong nation. You may remember him saying that. Amen. So I want to encourage us all today, you can come back stronger and make this a time of personal renewal. You know, as we all renew our strength and invigorate our spirits right now, you know, the church as a whole will do the same. We'll be strengthening the entire body of Christ. And I want to speak to those that are alone, because we don't forget them, people that are in solitude. And I want to say, allow your solitude to become that immovable foundation for your relationship with God for the future. I know there's lots of singles out there. Some of them are isolating alone. Okay, we're doing what we can to stay in touch. But don't fear solitude. Embrace it and use it. I laugh already because, you know, for some people, for introverts, this is a great time. And for extroverts, everyone's like, oh man, when's this going to end? You know, but I want to say, to close this off before we pray, and someone sent me this and reminded me of this song this week. Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give our hearts. Let's give our hearts completely and fully to the Lord Jesus in this time. And we want to invite you, if you have any prayer needs, or you this message has stirred you, have more questions regarding the times we live in, the Bible, Christianity, we invite you to contact us over the website or on the contact details there by email or phone. We'd love to speak with you. And everyone, be blessed. Let's close in prayer together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this time together. We thank you, Father, that you are a light in the darkness. Father God, we thank you that your ways are perfect. Father, that your word is sure, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you make our feet as deer's feet, Father God, and you set us upon high places. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us the shield of salvation. We thank you, Father God, that you uphold us in your mighty hands, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you've enlarged the paths beneath our feet so that we will not slip or fall or stumble, Father God. We thank you that you've armed us with strength. We thank you, Father God, that you fight the battle on our behalf. We thank you, Father, you've given us authority in the name of Jesus to subdue the enemy or anything that would exalt itself against you and your word. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, for being our King. Thank you, Lord, for being our everything, Father. And we ask you, Lord, to please come in, Father, come in, come in. Come back in to our hearts, to the church in a great way. And Father God, show us your salvation, Father, and help us to reach our neighbors, Lord, and to win them, Father. Help, give us the strength to expend our time, our energy, our love, Father, our lives for the lost, because a soul is a soul and a soul is precious to you. So we pray, Father God, for your blessing, your strength, your grace, your mercy, and your empowerment for us as we go into this new week. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen, everyone. Be blessed. We will be back with you soon.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.